All right, good morning. Are we ready for God's Word this morning?
Yeah.
And let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. I think we've got a fun message ahead of us. And before we show an opening video, an introduction, I want to say that, dooms preppers, who's heard of doomsday preppers? Yes. Whoever watched that show on National Geographic entitled the same way, Doomsday Preppers. Okay, so some of you did. You can go to YouTube actually and look at some of the episodes. I think it started back in 2011, and there were several seasons that went on. But this morning, I want to give you a teaser of a video of this particular program that aired 10 years ago actually, and it gives you. I want you to pay close attention to the reasons why people have become doomsday preppers. Do you understand what I mean by a doomsday prepper? They're stockpiling armament. They're stockpiling, canned goods. They're generators, ATVs in case of a cataclysmic event. Prince's Closet, and I felt like I was in a SWAT van, a special weapons and tactics van. Here are all these AK-47s, AK-74, AR-15. Listen, young buck, you never want to mess with this one. The Widowmaker, whatever it was. So, all right, let's roll the video, please.
I'm preparing my family for the total destruction of the power grid.
A devastating earthquake.
A series of catastrophic terrorist attacks.
Super volcano.
Under a doomsday scenario, I'll be the only one standing there who has another 100 pounds to lose.
700 cans.
241 pounds of cucumbers.
We have weapons for every individual in a house.
This is the lifestyle that we live.
Let's go. We're bugging out.
Doomsday Preppers, a new series, premieres tonight at 9 on the National Geographic Channel.
Thank you. All right, they all have different reasons. A super volcano, nuclear fallout, the end of the world or whatever, as these people perceive it. Who has known in your life someone who is a doomsday prepper? I have known that. In fact, who has seen their doomsday come and go and nothing happened? Right? I remember back in the year 1999, it was December the 31st of 1999, everybody was in arms because of why? Y2K, the year 2000, that supposed glitch that computers were not supposed to handle, and it was supposed to be a worldwide end of the age type of thing. And at the time, I was a very young buck. I still am, thank you. But I was in a church in Kansas, and one of our church members, who was a person of means, had purchased all kinds of canned goods, all kinds of armaments, all kinds of things to prepare for this Y2K thing. Never mind that all along as a pastor, I felt that the responsible thing to do was to continue preaching the word of God instead of doomsday. Right? And I was peaceful and I said, look, God's in control. No, we don't want to hear that now. We want to hear that we better stockpile everything. So anyway, why the year 2000 came and went, and much to that person's credit, they sold all their stuff that they had purchased, and they gave the money to the church. Who likes that illustration? That's a very pastoral illustration. But anyway, there were other incidences with other people that I had heard. But the bottom line is this, church family, listen, that is a very fear-based approach to life. If you want to stockpile armaments, if you want to stockpile canned foods, that's your business. I'm not going to meddle in your business, but I'm telling you right now, make sure that what you do is done out of a heart of faith and not out of a heart of fear. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? How many of y'all believe that God is in control?
Amen.
That never once have God's people done without.
Amen.
Right? God has always provided. God has always been faithful, no matter what kind of times. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away before one of his promises will not come to pass. Do we believe that, church family? All right, so this morning, I would like for us to look at a much more severe doomsday that the Bible calls the day of the Lord. Now, I know Scott will appreciate this. Any serious student of the Word understands that the day of the Lord, listen carefully, church family, is not just the rapture. That's a very small part of the day of the Lord. It is the day when the Lord decides to pour out his wrath upon the earth. How many of y'all know, if you've read the book of Revelation, that's coming? Amen. Right? You know, John the Baptist told the Pharisees of his day, he said, you know, you wicked brood of vipers, he said, you are storing wrath against you on that day. How many of us know that God is a long-suffering and a patient God? Right? He is a loving God. And why is he patient? 2 Peter 3 says that he desires that no one perishes and is lost forever, but that all people should come to what, church family? To repentance, right? To salvation in Christ. And so that's why God is patient. But there comes a point that all this while God's patience is happening, what is being stored in the background? Wrath is being stored. Wrath is being stored. Okay, so far so good, everybody. Y'all, do I have your attention now? How many of y'all know that the day of the Lord is going to be much worse than any other doomsday happening? All right, let's look at our scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. I like the New King James Version that says a roar. Or what translation says a roar? Is it the King James Version? NIV says a roar. With a roar, thank you. We're going to look at that shortly. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Notice carefully, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Okay, notice, first thing I want you to notice, how will the day of the Lord come? How does a thief approach a house? Quiet. What's that? Quiet. Quietly? Is it unannounced? Yes. Stealthily. Who's ever watched Home Alone? Remember those guys? They were casing that nice house in Chicago while Kevin was left alone in that home, and you know, they planned what they were going to do, and then Kevin overheard this, and so he went home and planned for their demise, and they were caught by the cops, thankfully. Okay, so we don't know when this day is coming. Listen, church family, I'm gonna save you tons of grief right now. If somebody comes to you and says, you know, the Lord's gonna come on this day, or it's gonna happen on this day, or I'm telling you, I've got mathematical calculations on this day. You know what? You go, turn them off, and go. Because let me y'all know, baby, not even the Son knows. If Jesus don't know, why is the Lord, the Father, going to entrust these dates to a Yahoo? Yahoo. See what I did there? See what I did there, Brent? So we've got to be very careful, church family. Listen, when the disciples went to Jesus and they asked Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, they said, Lord, now will you restore the kingdom to Israel. What's he saying? Now will your heavenly kingdom come to planet Earth. He said, it is not for you to know the dates that the Father has set in his times. Amen. Right? Who has set these times? The Father. And did he say, you might know later on? He said, it is not for you to know. So let me help you and save you a ton of grief. None of us knows. How many of us know that hearkens, that calls for preparedness on our part? right? You know, I used to frown at people that all they talked about was the second coming of the Lord. But do you realize that every generation since the first generation disciples, they all believed that Christ was coming back in their own lifetime? So it is very biblical to believe, church family, that Christ is coming back in our lifetime. It got really quiet on that one. Peter, James, John, all the other disciples believed that Jesus was going to return in their time. Every subsequent generation believed that Jesus was going to come back. So it is a healthy thing, listen carefully, to do as Paul said in the book of Titus chapter 2, to look for your blessed hope. Amen? It is a healthy thing, but just don't get caught up in the suction and the pull of this is the day it's going to happen. No. No. I was once talking to a minister and he asked me, do you believe that Jesus is coming back in your lifetime? I said, I do. I do believe. He's like, well, I don't. I don't think he'll come back for another couple centuries. Well, how many of y'all know that biblically, I'm more biblical in my preparation than he is in putting it off? Right? Didn't Jesus say, stay alert, be watchful? Okay, let's move on. Okay? In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Okay, let's start there with the heavens. The Bible uses the word heavens because there is no word in the Greek language or in the Hebrew language that talk about a universe. It just talks about the heavens. So the heavens is a description of all that is. You know, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But do you realize that same God who created the heavens and the earth will destroy the heavens and the earth? Right? He will create, he'll bring about a brand new universe. It will not be like the old one. I don't know what it's going to be like. Cindy asked me, she said, will we be able to travel to other planets when we're in heaven? I said, I don't know. I don't know if there will be other planets in the new heaven and the new earth. I don't know. Well, there should be, Pastor Joe. Well, good for you. Find you a billionaire so you can go out in space. You know, those four civilians that came back from space and that one billionaire. How many of y'all know it's handy to know a billionaire? I don't know a billionaire personally, but anyway, let's move on. Okay, so the heavens will pass away with a great roar or a great noise. Okay, let's talk about this. When we were in grade school, who remembers the figures of speech that we learned? The similes is a figure of speech, or metaphors are a figure of speech, or what about onomatopoeia? Who remembers onomatopoeia? Probably these young folks. You remember onomatopoeia? How do you define it, hon?
I don't remember what it means. I just remember the word.
Okay. It is spelled out the way it sounds. Like, what do you do when you put a juicy piece of steak in your mouth and you're like, what do you say? That's onomatopoeia. Or if you want to rear back and clock someone, pow, or bam. Or when you see one of these bees or bumblebees buzzing by, what do they sound like? Bzzz, right? So you spell it B-U-Z-Z. That's onomatopoeia. You spell a word out the way they sound. Pow, bam. Anyway, in this, in the Greek, it's reitzodon. Reitzodon. Now listen carefully, we're going to dig it. How many of y'all like when we dig a little deeper into the Word of God? Okay, here we go. Reitzodon is like a whizzing sound. Shh. Shh. The heavens will pass away with shh. A whizzing sound, or listen carefully, a whistling sound. What could that speak of? I believe that a part of this destruction, listen carefully, church family, is nuclear warfare. I believe the Lord will allow man, in essence, to destroy himself. Okay? Who's ever watched World War II movies? I love them. I love Saving Private Ryan. What happens when there's a scene and there's a whistling sound coming? What does that whistling sound signal?
Bomb.
What?
Bomb.
A bomb? Because, what?
Bullet?
No, sweetie, we're not talking a Western. We're talking a World War II, honey. We're not talking about John Wayne. No. Listen carefully, the scientists put a whistling sound on bombs to paralyze the enemy, to know this is the sound of your demise. Okay? So, if this definition says that the heavens, listen carefully, not just the earth, but the heavens will be destroyed with a whistling sound, that cannot help but speak of man's machinery and man's, here's a $1 million word for you, machinations that will serve to destroy everything. Who believes that? Now here's something interesting, church family. Listen, when there's nuclear warfare, no one will hear the whistling sound because the nuclear shock waves travel faster than the speed of sound. So you'll be dead before you even hear the whistling or the whistling. How many of y'all say, this is pretty intense, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty intense, huh? So seeing, how many of y'all know this is severe doomsday? Seeing that this will happen, listen carefully, church family, seeing that this will happen, shouldn't we be alert to what will transpire on earth? Right? Isn't that what the Bible describes, the day of the Lord? Notice carefully, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Fervent heat. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my mom told me, you know, the Lord destroyed the first earth, so to speak, with water, but he's going to destroy this current earth with what, church family?
Fire.
But notice, fervent heat. Heat so intense, so white hot, so powerful that it'll melt stuff around. Again, what does that speak of?
Nope.
You know, there's a book in the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament prophets, the minor prophets, they talk about that the Lord says, the day will come when I pour out my wrath, says the Lord, that while people are still standing, their flesh will fall off. What does that speak of?
Radiation poisoning,
nuclear fallout. Isn't that interesting? 100 years ago, they wouldn't have been able to say that. Have that interpretation. Now, all of us with the weaponry that is at hand at our disposal, not just in America, but also in rogue nations like Iran, Russia, North Korea, does a lot of saber rattling with his weaponry and testing this and testing that. You know, church family, we live in a very precarious age. Who would agree with me that we live in a very precarious age? Okay, let's move on. Okay, so they'll melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. Okay, now who would agree with me that that is severe doomsday? Now notice what Peter, he changes subjects. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? He talks about two things: holy conduct and number two, godliness. That is the real doomsday preparation. To me, church family, trying to survive with earthly goods is not enough in the eyes of God.
Amen.
The best preparation we can do, and I wish I had a, this is one of those messages that I wish I had a megaphone that I could speak to the entire body of Christ at the same time and say, look, your ATVs, your weapons, your canned foods, your jarred pickled foods or whatever you do, that's not going to be enough. The best preparation is to live in holy conduct and godliness. Yes. Holy conduct, holy simply means you are set apart. Right? I am set apart. You are set apart. God has chosen us to be a chosen generation, a godly people, a holy priesthood unto Him. That we should declare the praises of Him, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We are set apart. Because I'm set apart, that means that I'm not going to do what everybody else is going to do. I'm not going to go to the honky-tonk, and I'm not going to, well, I'll just leave the wife at the house barefoot and pregnant, and by George, I'm going to go find me some action. Don't edit this out, Miss Sheila. When I say that, she always bristles like, how many of y'all like my keeping it real raw illustrations? Thank you for those two hands that I saw. We live in the real world, you know. And so anyway, because of that, I'm set apart. My feet should march to the beat of God's drum. Amen. Period. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? That is what set apart is. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play your dramatic games. I'm not going to be that way. You know, I once talked with a CNA that I once talked with, and she was still in her early 30s, had eight kids. She said she was raised in church, because I always try to bring the conversation around to talking about, you know, the Lord. She said she was raised in church, and I said, do you mind? And I probed a little more, and she was just very forthright. She said, I had all my kids with different fathers. I'm like, whew. Yeah. I was just as taken aback, but I didn't let her show my shock, or didn't let her see my shock. And I probed, and I said, why? I mean, how many of y'all know you're at a loss for words, but how many of y'all know that Jesus still loves that person?
Amen.
And Jesus still has a first class calling on that person's life. Amen?
Amen?
And I was just taken aback, and I just tried to instruct her. I said, honey, if you were raised in the church, why aren't you with the Lord now? Well, she said, well, it's a long story. And she kind of brought the conversation to a close with that. And I'm just like, well, okay. So I left it be. But I'm telling you, how many of y'all know that God has a better level of living than that?
Amen.
I don't have to wonder who's the father of Junior and who's the father of Ricky and who's the father of Samuel. Amen. Is this too raw, church family? Is this too real? Jesus loves those people. Because how many of y'all know, but for the grace of God, there go we. No, not me, Joe. No, especially you, God's little helper. So the point is, church family, is that we are set apart. We're not to be like that. God has a special relationship that He wants us to have with Him, and it'll always translate in holy conduct. I thought I would get a better amen than that. Am I right, church family? Didn't Paul the Apostle quote out of the Old Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 7? It says, come out from among them, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters. So that's the first part, is being set apart. Godliness means that you're different. How many of y'all know that we're not going to be different in a weird kind of way? We're going to be different in a godly way. our devotion to be godly means that you're devoted to God. My heart will be toward Him. I will consult Him. I will resist my urges to give people a piece of my mind. Yoo-hoo! I the other day I was just driving down a country road. I looked up and I saw this car on my lane, and I'm thinking he must be turning. He must be wanting to turn. No, he's still coming. And I'm just about to honk, and I'm like, the old me would have done something different. But I was like, what's up, brother? He must have been texting. He must have been looking at his phone, because he looked up and he switched over to his lane, and then he drove by, and I'm like, what the heck? Something different would have come out of this beautiful mouth. Right, church family?
Yeah.
I am devoted to God. My number one devotion, my number one desire is that I am pleasing Him, and that I'm obeying Him in what He commands and expects of me. Here we go. Okay, so therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being what? On fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Who looks forward to an earthly existence where there is nothing but love, joy, peace, patience, devotion for God, and everything is stamped with Jesus all over it? I do. There's no 6 o'clock news. There's no 10 o'clock news. There's no COVID numbers. There's no mandates for vaccinations, right? What is a mandate after all, Terry? You and me having lunch.
And shooting guns.
And shooting guns. It's a mandate. I think Cindy allows that, right, babe? You don't, I'm not a switch hitter, but I'll have lunch with my brother. Some of you didn't get that. All right. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Malachi chapter 4, please. Surely the day is coming. It will burn. Notice carefully. Surely the day is coming. What day is Malachi referring to? It's up on the screen. The day of the Lord, the day of judgment. It will burn like a... The arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on... Says the Lord Almighty, not a root or a branch will be left to them, but for you who revere my name, listen, I love this promise, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Don't you just love the contrast? The evildoer will be a stubble. He will be burned up. But those of us who love Him, listen, the Son of Righteousness, not a burning fire, but a enlightening light, will rise with healing in its rays. We will frolic around like well-fed calves. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great imagery? The next scripture that we have, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming what?
Fire,
taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice carefully. What is it that He will come with? What is that? What element that Jesus will take vengeance with?
Fire.
Flaming fire. Listen, I don't believe that all the judgment and all the dissolving of the elements will be fire from nuclear warfare. The other fire will come from Him to destroy everything. Now, sharing a message like this and ending like this is a very depressing situation, because how many of us know that we have hope through Jesus Christ? Listen, Jesus Christ came to bear all of our sins that we have ever committed, that we might commit or that we will ever commit. And he came to bear the punishment for all of our sins, because the reality is, for God to be true to his nature, he must judge sin. And instead of punishing us, God the Father punished his one and only Son. Now, Jesus said in John 3:16 that whoever believes in him, whoever puts their hope, whoever puts their trust, whoever looks to Jesus for salvation will be saved. We don't have to spend an eternity apart from God. We can spend an eternity with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus. Can I get a witness on that, church family? All we have to do is come to a place in our lives where we say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. Forgive all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord. Be my boss and be the Savior, the forgiver of all of my sins. Amen, church family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord God, for your love for us. Thank you for sealing these truths into our spirit, Lord. Father, help us to look forward to that day, a day of hope, a day of rejoicing for those of us who believe, Lord. And we pray that if any are around within the sound of my voice listening to this, Lord, that do not know Jesus Christ, the best way to prepare for this doomsday is to accept Christ, to love him, to follow him, to get to know him. Thank you for all this. Move, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.